Are you working on your author career but struggling to get that first book published? Does the goal of being an author seem too lofty? Or are thoughts of having multiple books and making a full-time living are as fantastical as living in Cinderella's castle? Welcome to Discovered Wordsmiths, a podcast where aspiring authors can be heard. Join Stephen Schneider as he finds and talks to authors you may not know, but authors that have gotten their foot on the author career path. Hear what they've done to get there and where they want to go now. Settle back. It's time for a bit of inspiration and advice. Come listen to today's Discovered Wordsmith.
All right, so Captain, welcome back. Part two of our Discovered Wordsmith podcast. We're talking about more about publishing and author related things for your book, Creepy Cat. You're working on a sequel. What did you learn doing the first book that you're doing different with the second book?
I'm planning ahead for how am I going to sell this? It's not even so much as profit. People don't generally get rich off writing, but when you put all that work into it, you want it to be read. I've been looking around, asking questions, talking to people, trying to find out how to market this book that is forthcoming, both the sequel to Creepy Cat's Macabre Travels and my new anthology of short fiction.
So you're putting a focus at the beginning, thinking ahead, what you need to do to market and get this. And we're going to talk more about marketing in a couple minutes. When you're writing these books, what do you use to do that? I mean, do you go to all these travels and then you sit down for a couple of weeks and just write all the different parts? Or do you write after every trip, the section of the book based on that trip? Or do you do it while you're out on the trip?
I try to start it while I'm on the trip. I take notes copiously, try to write while I'm there, at least very good notes. But I try to start drafting my chapter while I'm on the trip. It's kind of a working vacation, you know, finish it up at home. For my short stories, I just give myself a theme, write a story about this, and then I sit down and write a story until it's done. And then, of course, revise it.
Do you write longhand on notepads, or what do you use to actually get the words down?
Yes, longhand on notepads, and then I type it. I type 75 words a minute on Word.
Okay. So do you use a word process? Oh, you just said Word. Sorry. Have you ever used like a typewriter to actually type it up?
Yeah, before the internet existed.
Okay, so you've been doing this for a while. Yeah, I understand. I remember back in the day trying to type, correcting.
Your electric typewriter with the correction tape.
Yes.
Erasable paper. And then you get all the way down to the bottom and have to add a footnote for your paper for school. And then you have to retype the page because you didn't leave enough room at the bottom for your foot.
I remember learning all that in school. I must say that was a good class in high school because, you know, mid-80s at the time, there were like 33 girls and I was the only guy in the whole class. So it was a good choice at the time.
I had to learn to type on a manual because if I learned on an electric, I'd never be able to use a manual.
Yeah, we had to also. I'm so glad we've got word processors. They make
much easier. It makes life easier.
Definitely. All right, so let's talk a little bit about marketing because you said one of the hardest things is getting the word out and getting people to see the book and, you know, teaching people about the book so they want to read it. What have you been doing to market this book?
Well, every Thursday this summer, I've been at the local park where they have a band playing in a vendor's market. And I have also enlisted local libraries and have a schedule of programs. I'll be presenting a chapter from my book and with a PowerPoint presentation. I have two programs. Anybody out there who wants to book me, I have programs for groups on Salem Past and Present Intermixed, and another one on the Bell Witch Project, two of my chapters. I've also going to be presenting at John Carroll University. They have an alumni authors association. I'll be presenting the Bell Witch Project there. I contacted all my alumni and they responded saying that they had that program. That's about it. I started a website, but how do you get people to look at it? How do you? When I buy books, I buy them in stores, or I buy them by word of mouth. Another way I buy books is a bibliography. I always like to read the sources people use. I like to go backwards. So that's how I find books. And I don't know how people find books when they're online.
Well, let's back up a second. I have a couple comments and questions. You're going to local events, outdoor mm-hmm. events, concerts. Do you have a table? Is that what you're getting?
Yes. Okay. And I have a mummy.
To attract attention.
Yes.
Okay. Now, I love this because it's outside of the box thinking in many ways. I've seen authors that you have an author conference where everybody attending it is an author trying to be better. And then you have this one author that gets a table and is trying to sell their science fiction book. And it's a fantasy science fiction book. It's not a nonfiction craft book or anything like that. And I always look at them and I'm thinking, this is not your audience. Just because other people write does not mean that they are readers of science fiction. And besides, everybody here is trying to write their own book and get better. So to me, that's a disconnect and a poor choice for that person to want to sell their book and advertise. They get it in their head. It's the same with computers. I all the time hear people say, oh, well, this was back in the day, 20, 30 years ago. Oh, you're in the computers here. You should do this. And it turns out it was like a multi-level marketing scheme to sell online. Well, just because I'm into computers, that's not my thing. So what I'm getting at is the audience, people who would like your book are people that like to travel and or people that like horror, which is a large majority of the people, but it's general people. And so you are going to places where there could be people that like to travel and like horror and setting up this table, putting out a mummy to attract them. What's the type of reaction and feedback you get when people come up to you at these concerts and are looking over what you have?
They like to buy from local authors. So they are always curious. They tell me, they see me when I'm riding my bicycle down the street, and now they're finding out something more about me. And then they like to tell their stories. I met a person who lives in my town who grew up in West Virginia. He's like to stop and talk. Seem to be very interested in meeting and reading local writers.
So it's very personal. You're yes. taking a very personal approach to getting to know people. And then you're also doing talks at various places, at libraries, at colleges, and that. How did you get it? You said you contacted the Alumni Association. How else did you get some of these talks, like at the libraries and that?
I contacted them all, sent them my press release, made phone calls and a couple of visits. Most of the libraries in Ohio have authors speaking, so I've been going around introducing myself to them.
So the bottom line is you're hustling. You're getting out there. You're going to every place, everything you can think of, and being personal about it.
And I've put thousands of flyers on people's mailboxes.
Oh, okay. Plus you're getting on such wonderful podcasts as this and Relentless Geekery.
And I appreciate the opportunity. Thank you. Everybody needs to find out about my great book.
I agree. I absolutely agree. So now you've got a website, and I'm sure you've heard 500 million times, you need a website. But this is where you get confounded. You don't know what to do because it's totally different than getting personal and getting out there in front of people.
How do I know if anybody looks at it? Why it's there, but in my book has been for sale on Amazon too and Barnes & Noble, but how do I know people actually know it's there?
So I hope I'm not giving away any secrets, but you're not a fan of technology. You don't care for technology a whole lot.
Despise it.
Okay, we'll go with despise. That's a good adjective. We could probably come up with a few more. I have a thesaurus here. But anyway, so I find this interesting because there's a lot of authors out there that are the opposite. They have no problem putting up a website. They have no problem running ads. They have no problem changing pages and that. But if you say, well, what about getting out, meeting people? They're like, well, I don't know what to do. And my example of the sci-fi author that goes to a writer's convention is a good example. I bet there's a lot of people that don't think, hey, my local community does a concert every week and they allow us to set up tables. I could get to know people. And you, that's what you're doing. You're almost selling yourself, and then they want to give you a couple bucks for your book is what it comes down to. Mm. They enjoy you. They enjoy the mummy at the table. And the book sounds interesting, maybe, especially because some of those trips are, you know, Neil Zirker's one tank trips. They can get there in one tank of gas. It's an interest.
I've met a couple of people who are planning to go to Salem. And I said, well, you know, my book is just right for you. It tells you everything you need to know before you go.
That's perfect. It's an easy sell in that case. Now, as far as the website goes, that's totally different. Now, you did not do the website yourself, correct?
I had the IT guy at the library, he helped me with it. I basically set it up for me, and I did a great deal of editing after he set it up. So he did the initial construction.
The Amazon books and your website, has anyone shown you how to get to the dashboard and be able to look at clicks and all those types of things?
No.
Tell you, and I hope there's some other authors that can get a little bit from this. So Amazon, I assume you went into the self-publishing for Amazon.
No, my publisher did that.
Oh, okay. So that's
a different. He's got some international marketing thing that he took care of all that in.
Okay. So that is a problem with publishing with someone when you're not doing it all independent, controlling it, is you can't see those numbers. You don't know how many people are getting your book, clicking on your book. Though there are a couple services out there, and I'll throw these out that I use, and maybe some other authors use other things. The two I use the most, one is called Book Report, and it's a plugin for Chrome, your Chrome browser. And the other one is called Book Tracker, and it's TRAKR.com. And that's a website service. You might want to check those out. Book Tracker links into the dashboards of Amazon, Barnes & Noble, things like that. The thing is, though, you have to have your login information. You have to be able to put that into Book Tracker. Without that, you won't know. You still won't know, which may be difficult if your publisher is publishing the book and has your book mixed in with everybody else's. They're not going to give you the login information. But those two things can help. As far as your website goes, do you know, is it a WordPress website or did you use something like Squarespace or Wix?
Wix.
Used Wix. Okay. There is a dashboard for that too that you can get into and get reports that show you how many visitors you've had, what pages they've gone to, things like that. That's what you need to be able to get into. So whoever helps set it up should have your login information.
Okay, I have the login. I've done all the editing. Basically, he just set up the pages and links for me.
Okay.
And I did chose the backgrounds and arranged the text and all that. So he just made the foundation that I built on. But I'll look into that dashboard.
I'm not exactly the expert on this because I haven't written a million books yet. And I have not beaten Stephen King out of that number one spot yet.
I'm rooting for you.
We'll root for each other. We'll help each other. You get the travel nonfiction and I'll get the fiction that they can read on the way.
Okay.
But as far as online goes, it's kind of the same mindset, is that you need to get to where the people are that are going to buy your book, whether it's a Facebook group, which you got to be careful with. Too many people just shout, hey, buy my book. But if it's a group that you get into and that you're part of, for example, if there is a group that does travel to horror locations, you should find them and become a part of that group, not just to sell your book, but to be a part of the group. And once you're a part of the group and they find out about your book, then it's like the other, it's an easy sell. There's another spot that you might want to check out. It's called meetup.com. meetup.com. There are groups in there, local groups. There's probably some book group or travel group. that you could probably talk to. And I love that you give these other talks to the college and stuff. And it's not just about your book. It's related to your book. And it's a topic that you can do a talk of interest. Well, I bet you can find some groups outside of libraries and colleges that would love to hear about your Bram Stoker talk or whatever other talk you have.
So if any of you are listening, please let us know.
Yeah, there you go. And I'm just throwing out the couple ideas from what I've tried for other things and what I've heard others do. And then getting on this podcast and pushing all the podcasts or all the interviews you've been on, putting the links on your website, because it's a validation. Oh, she's not just somebody that wrote this in a weekend and it's a crappy book. You know, here I've been interviewed and talked to, you know, by these 5, 6, 10 places.
What do you think about agents?
For me personally, I have not wanted an agent, but again, I think that's a more personal and each person in their own situation thing. I think there's a lot of opportunities for me as a fiction writer to get the word out without an agent. If you're a nonfiction travel memoir writer, you might be better off with an agent. And that could very well be true, because the travel memoir category is big, but as you've said, they're mostly physical books, and you might be a much better high-selling author going through an agent. I don't know. What do you think of agents?
I don't know. I've been tossing it around in my mind. I don't have any experience, so I'm just trying to get information.
Yeah, from what others have said and my own thoughts, I think everybody should look at that themselves. It might be worth your while just to get some letters out, get a campaign, get your PR materials together, and see what the reaction is. I mean, mm-hmm. You know, if you send it to 150 agents and none of them even reply to you, well, maybe this type of book isn't one that agents are interested in. But then again, if you send it out and the first couple come beating down your door, maybe it's a really hot category that agents want to represent and sell. I have no idea. That's a neat thing, I think, to find out. Mm-hmm. Maybe next time I talk to you, we get you back on after your second book comes out or something. Maybe you'll have something new to report about that.
I'm learning a lot every day since I have become addicted to writing. It's taken over.
Can be addicting. I was joking yesterday, and like Jeff Foxworthy, you know, he does, you might be a redneck. You might be a writer if you spend all day staring at a blank screen. All right. So Catherine, do you have any advice for other new authors who haven't even gotten their book published yet?
Read a whole lot more than you write. Because a person can't write well, a person doesn't know what good writing is. And read selectively, the best there is. A steady diet of good reading helps you learn without even trying, just absorb. You know, it's absorbed in you. And write all the time, a lot. Practice makes you better at everything. Not necessarily a Pulitzer Prize writer, but the best writer you can be with practice.
That's also something that I think people need to realize. Different categories and genres have different levels of what's good writing. You know, what you're writing for a memoir is totally different than what somebody might be writing for military sci-fi. Different wording, different language, different style.
Right. So, I'm what you consider a literary writer, both in fiction and nonfiction.
Well, considering your favorite era is 19th century authors, then that makes sense.
I love beautiful language.
That's
beautiful,
good.
Beautiful thoughts with beautiful language, even if they're horrific.
And so that's something else, you know, that puts you a little different. You could write a travel memoir that's more strictly facts and figures and straight business type language, whereas right. Yours is not. It's more poetic and fun to read on top of being about great locations.
Right. I'm not a Rick Steves writer. He has a lot of good information I use, but that's not the kind of writer I am.
And I think a lot of authors get hung up on that. You know, they want to compare themselves to an author that's really different than the way they write. But and then they feel bad if they're not writing similar to that. You know, you got to find your own voice and style, and what works for you will be the best way of writing.
Absolutely.
Well, Catherine, appreciate being on and talking today. We've gone through a few struggles to make sure we could get you on, and I appreciate all the time, effort, and dealing with the frustration. So it's been great talking to you about your book.
Well, that's what you get for dealing with a Luddite.
Well, that's okay, because it's good to hear about the book, and I hope some other people want to check it out for you.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate the opportunity. I've enjoyed talking with you, and just keep writing, reading. And playing music.
Yes, yes.
You play music, I'll dance to it.
And we'll do it over at Dark Shadows Mansion.
All right.
Thanks, Catherine.
Thank you, too.
Thank you for listening to Discovered Wordsmiths. Come back next week and listen to another author discuss the road they've traveled, and maybe, sometime in the near future, it might be you.